The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Clinton Yates, Woody Page, great to have you guys. This is what we're here for, end of game situations. I mean, Jamal Murray, the hottest guy on the planet, and LeBron taking him on. Murray had three baskets in the fourth quarter, zero while LeBron was on him. A lot has been written about that. Also coming out of this Lakers win and going up 3-1 in the series, Mike Malone saying the Nuggets will now be the ones to talk to the NBA about getting more foul calls. Free throws last night, Lakers 35, Nuggets 23. Jokic was in foul trouble. Woody Page, I'll start with you in Denver. Was last night more about how LeBron turned up the defense or how LA commanded attention from the officials?
It was about bull manures, what it was about. When the Lakers reaching out, the Lakers favored to be the champions, and they're so afraid of our lowly Denver Nuggets here, and they went out and said to the NBA, LeBron's not getting to the free throw line often enough. Well, last night it was 35-23, the Lakers advantage. No wonder that Malone wants to reach out to the NBA. That wasn't fair at all. And then when LeBron goes and says, give me Murray in the last 5 minutes, it's the winning time, he said. And of course, he fouled him like two or three times during that period. Meanwhile, he's bullying through the free throw line every time he got the ball. I just think it was totally unfair. But I will say this, the Nuggets are right where they want to be, down 3-1. Mm-hmm. What happens when they're down 3-1? They come back and win the series. But it's
by
all
many.
About
yes,
the
yes.
Lakers.
Okay. Well, we hear about
it's
the
like
officiating
Armageddon.
Every game, and we hear it from the home fans, or in this case, the home columnists, every single game. I'll go to Sarah Spain. Was this about the officiating for you?
I don't want to make it all about the officiating because obviously the Lakers did a number of things to put themselves in a position to win, and Jokic being in foul trouble is related to the calls, but they have actually had great success, the Nuggets have, when Jokic has had four fouls or more in games throughout this season. I think it's weird that LeBron had the fewest average free throws per game in the regular season of his entire career, and then right after the complaint goes to the league, all of a sudden they got 24 fouls between just him and AD last night. It's something you can't ignore, and obviously Malone isn't ignoring it. And it looks bad for the NBA to have a team explicitly write a letter, not even an email or a text, demanding that, and then immediately seeing the result of it. I don't think it can be ignored.
Yeah,
but, of
yeah.
course, you have to give him credit for shutting down Murray down the stretch. At least one time there should have been a foul call, but other times he played good defense, forced Murray to kick, and it was a matter of whether those teammates made those open shots or not.
Clinton Yates, when you hear Mike Malone say after the game, well, I guess now it's our turn to talk to the league about the officiating, that's just a bad look for everybody, isn't it?
I agree. We've spent all season talking about these two-minute reports regarding every other thing that happened in every game that nobody even cares about. Where was one for this? That would have been a reasonable explanation for a beef that, in my opinion, kind of would have been done better behind closed doors. But Sarah's right. The Lakers did a couple things real well. I thought starting Dwight Howard was an incredible button press by Vogel, and LeBron didn't turn the ball over. So, sure, if you know you're not getting calls and you stick your, not best defender, but your biggest guy and biggest star on Murray, yeah, okay, that's a good idea, but I'm not going crazy because LeBron decided to guard a guy at the end of a game
wait,
and made
wait,
a couple
okay.
plays.
So you're not going crazy over it. You think too much is being made of it. I heard Woody thinks he was fouling a lot. Sarah, you thought he was fouling Murray as well. Woody, I'll bring you back in on LeBron guarding Murray. They didn't shift the game and shift the series for you?
No, I don't think. I think Anthony Davis's three-pointer
course,
was what shifted the series because it could be a lot closer at this point and the Nuggets would have a chance. But we know this. LeBron can't guard him for 48 minutes or even 40 minutes. He might be able to do it for 5 minutes. But if he's going to get away with fouling him, and, oh, yeah, I'm the home columnist. I'm a homer in this case because I saw it as fairly as I possibly could last
that.
Night. And
that
wasn't a fair situation.
Okay.
Yeah, that was not a...
I mean, yeah, Woody's point is the most important. We know that LeBron is not going to be able to guard Murray for the entire game, and so I wouldn't call it a series shifter, and I think it matters, of course, that with Jokic in foul trouble, so much focus could be put on Murray instead of both of those superstars. In this game, this was the right move for LeBron to take over defensively and at least give them a different look, if not put that imposing presence on a guy that very clearly had taken over down the stretch in previous games.
Woody, you alluded to it before, just a little bit more on the Nuggets and the most resilient team in the NBA this season. I mean, coming back from 3-1 twice is historic on its own, and the position they're in right now.
Well, Jokic has got to be more consistent. And when he is not playing well in this series, when he is in foul trouble, that goes back to the officiating. When he's in foul trouble, he not only is not in the game for the fourth quarter for about 7 minutes, but he has to play very, very defensive, for the word, because he can't pick up a fifth and sixth foul.
Right. Can the Nuggets do it again? Can the Celtics do it once? That's the question tonight, Boston, Miami. Let's talk about that series. The scoring for this series through four games, 441 to 441. That's how even it's been. But watching any fourth quarter, and it looks like Miami is the tougher team, the better team. Clinton, what specifically does Boston have to fix tonight to stay alive?
Stop turning over the basketball, and specifically stop doing it in the fourth quarter. Jackie Mack talked earlier this week about how this team is best when they move the ball well a lot, but they're not moving the ball well. They're moving it a lot and getting a lot of sloppy turnovers on deflected passes and mishandles as far as dribbles are concerned. They're just unforced errors, which is a problem. I mentioned that if Jaylen Brown gets to the rack, this team is the best team. They need to slash more to attack that zone and not just try to move the ball, because they're just not with it right now. I think they need to be more aggressive, and this team has a chance to win another game.
Sarah Spain, do you see a fix in line for Boston? Is there more than one? What is it for the Celtics tonight?
Yeah, the turnovers are huge. Attacking the middle of the zone is huge. In fact, the Heat have only been better in turnovers and free throws. The Celtics have outshot them from the field, outshot them from three, out-rebounded them. So with all those statistics going their way, it really puts an emphasis on how bad those turnovers are. But also, this has been a super tight series, and in 18 clutch minutes, the Heat have outscored the Celtics 52 to 29. So down the stretch, when it matters most, Miami has been hot and the Celtics have wilted. That's probably the difference in the series.
And Woody Page, is there one thing the Celtics need to do tonight to survive and move the series forward?
Well, my two compatriots have good ideas, but let me give you the one that's really important. That's Bam and his wrist injury. The Celtics, if they want to win this game, they got to challenge him. Do you know, in this series, even better than Hero, he's 21.1 points per possession for 100 possessions. That's better than anybody else on the floor. So they need to challenge him, get him into foul trouble, or at least challenge that wrist so he's not able to shoot and contribute and rebound. That's the most important thing, because he's been the difference, I think, overall in the series.
From one stat boy to a stat man, a stat king, Woody Page, good job with the statistics. Is it going to happen for Boston tonight, Clinton?
Yes.
I like the way you gave it thought. Like, you didn't know I was going to answer that question, and you had no idea, even though we just talked.
I had to decide when I thought about whether or not Tyler Hero was going to be ready to play today, and he is going to be ready to play, but I do think the Celtics are going to get it together.
I think the Heat finish him.
Mm-hmm. Woody Page?
I don't think it makes a difference. Miami is the better team that's going to win.
It doesn't make a difference. Thank you very much.
It's pretty important.
What are you doing here? Something that does make a difference. College football week four. Week one for the SEC. Let's get in there. Here's the slate. And with the SEC, you sometimes get a cupcake appetizer. Not anymore. You're in the meat and potatoes of the conference schedule. Woody, what are you watching most closely for in week one of the SEC? What can you learn? Who's it a must win for?
Yeah, Anthony, I'm glad you came to me, because this is my beat. You knew where I grew up. Yep. It's about the Mississippi schools, and I mean that. I'm talking about Ole Miss and Mississippi State. Mike Leach and Lane Kiffin, and they're both going against outstanding teams, Florida in the case of Ole Miss, and LSU, the defending national champions for Mississippi State. I'm going to sit here and guarantee that Mississippi State wins. Why is that possible? Bo Pelini is a defensive coordinator now at LSU. LSU, and Leach beat him like a drum when they were both in the in the Big 12. I mean, and here's the other point: LSU has lost to two Joes, their quarterback and their passing game coordinator, and that team has lost tight end, two wide receivers, four offensive linemen, and their quarterback and running back.
Okay,
State. Those are the two games
you have
to look
at. Defending champion losing the first week of the season, you're right out of the gate. Okay. Because they've lost a lot of guys. You know, it's college. Everybody loses guys. But, okay, Sarah Spain, how about you?
Not like that.
Yeah, you're not going to like this answer then, because I'm looking at LSU for the reason you just point out. Everybody loses guys, but they lost 94% of their passing yards, 78% of their receiving yards, 73% of their rush yards, two of their important coordinators, and a bunch of first-round draft picks. That team is going to look so different. That's the one I want to pay attention to. I want to see, is this a flash in the pan because Joe Burrow had an unbelievable season, or is Ed Ogeron able to take a whole nother bunch of guys that look completely different? They only returned five starters from that championship team. This is what I want
to
get a look at.
Listen to
this. We can pretty much find out right away if LSU is still going to contend this year.
Well, okay. So you've got Mississippi State as well. Everybody's a big Bulldogs fan right now, all of a sudden at around the horn. Clinton Yates, what to watch for in the SEC?
Who's the team I've been telling you about in the SEC ever since I've been on this show? That's the Kentucky Wildcats. The build is there. The Mark Stoops era is present. I'm serious, Tony. Listen to me. Got six all-SEC players. They got six all-SEC players on this team. They're looking to go to five straight bowl games. They're ranked. Let's not forget who they upset last year in the beginning of the year. Kentucky's going to win this football game. And then you're going to say, oh, how about that?
So you've got Kentucky overall. And our SEC preview extravaganza was just Kentucky and Mississippi State. This is a brave new world. Unbelievable.
I have Mississippi State winning.
Oh, you don't?
I have LSU winning.
Oh, okay. So after everything you said, every piece of information you gave us about 96% of the offense being gone, you're still going with LSU. I wonder how I feel about that. I wonder, Sarah Spain. We'll let it slide for now. I'm going to take a few minutes during the break to determine whether I need to take points away from Spain. Taking a break right here. Buy or sell next coming up. What is it, the featured matchup Sunday afternoon in the NFL? The 2-0 Rams and the 2-0 Bills.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Could be the featured matchup on the early slate of NFL games Sunday. 2-0 Rams, 2-0 Bills. If you look at the NFL's leading passers right now, Jared Goff, Josh Allen, way up there. Sarah, who would you rather have at QB going into this one? What team would you rather be in the game?
The team, I think, is the Bills, because as much as we're going to focus on the quarterbacks, they've only allowed 151 yards on the ground. It's been a big part of the Rams' success so far is their ability to balance that offense and run the ball. If the Bills can stay stingy there, feel good about it. And I love how Josh Allen is playing, best QB in the league so far alongside Russell Wilson in terms of numbers. So I'm going Bills and Allen.
Okay. Woody Page, how about you?
Same, Sarah is absolutely right. Let's talk about Josh Allen for a moment. He's been known as a guy who bulls around and runs a lot, only 76 yards rushing, but he's on pace after two games to have 5,800 yards passing and 48 touchdowns. That's the way his season has started, so I want to be him, and I want to be the Buffalo Bills. I'm 2-0. I'm playing at home. I don't have my mafia here, but I've got them here supporting me in thought.
In thought and prayer and in my heart. Yeah, 76 yards rushing for two games for a quarterback and Josh Allen. That's pretty good. That's whatever, a 600-yard season or so. Clint Yates, who do you want at quarterback and who do you want in this game?
Well, with all due respect to our esteemed panelists, I don't need to listen to them to know who I have to pick. I can listen to the coach of the Los Angeles Rams, who's extolling the virtues of Josh Allen so much you think he likes him better than his own quarterback, which makes sense at this point. Also, overall, Rams having to go back to the East Coast after an awkward travel day situation. That happens all the time. I think the Bills are primed to win this football.
So everybody's got Josh Allen making a leap this year, it seems. I know, Woody, you were saying the stats through 16 games. That's tongue-in-cheek. He's not going to throw for 50 touchdowns and 6,000 yards. Maybe he will, but everyone believes there's been a leap made, right, Sarah Spain?
I mean, I've been hot on Josh Allen. I think occasionally he forgets how to football, and those moments stand out. But for the most part, I think he is a guy that they're going to have a lot of faith in for a number of years.
He forgets how to football? Well, now he remembers how to football. We'll move on. Buy or sell to look at the two games prime time in week 3 of the NFL season. Packers, Saints, Rodgers, Breeze is Sunday night. KC, Ravens, Mahomes, Jackson is Monday night. What did we do to deserve this? Oh, that's right. A pandemic and 7 months of being shut in. Yeah, that's what we did. Rodgers and Breeze. Yeah, the wrinkle now is Rodgers looks rejuvenated and zippy, and Breeze is the one having to answer questions about decline. See why? Who'd you rather have a QB going into this one, and what team would you rather be?
Absolutely, Rodgers and the Packers. And just watching Breeze with your eyeballs, you're thinking to yourself, he can't make the throws and is barely even trying. And then you go to the stats and you figure this out. Early down incompletion air yards, 2018, 11.4 he averaged. Last year, 10.7 he averaged. The NFL average is 11.1, and this year he's at 6.5, which is last in the league. The dude's not even trying to make the same throws, never mind completing them. It's a different team when Drew Breeze isn't that player. And right now, I don't think they have what it takes to beat the Packers.
So you don't believe it's a bounce-back game for Drew Breeze or in any
Absolutely
way
not.
Michael Thomas back? Okay. How about you, Sarah Spain?
Yeah, there's a fear, of course, that what we saw against the Raiders is clouding us and making us see a team differently. But until I see Drew Brees look like the guy we used to know, I'm going Aaron Rodgers and I'm going Packers. And I think they're going to hit some big plays early to force the Saints into the pass game because their run game is actually strong and the Packers have given up 220-plus yards on the ground through two games. So they don't want to get into a running game. So I think Aaron Rodgers goes big early, but Devontae Adams not likely to be there for him. So that's something to keep an eye on.
Mm-hmm. Woody Page?
Very, very persuasive arguments by both. But I'm going to go with the Saints, and I am going to believe that Breeze is going to have a comeback game. I mean, he's got to be very upset about what's happened and how he's being basically pushed out of the league as Peyton Manning was his last year. Remember that Manning did win the Super Bowl when he wasn't the same quarterback. I think Breeze is going to have a gigantic game against the Rodgers and the Packers, even though the Packers are a better team. And they're going to possibly be without Devontae Adams.
Yes,
remember
that's been said now twice, and I thank you for that. So even though the Packers are a better team, you have the Saints in the game, and you have Breeze having a huge game, even though Rodgers has been playing better this year. Okay, good. I'm following everything. I'm picking up what you're putting down. Let's go. We'll move on. Buy or sell 3. Pac-12. Back November 6th. They'll play 7 conference games. They'll pack it in and be done by Christmas. Woody, does the timing of all that prevent them from getting in the playoff, or do they deserve a shot at that no matter what? Excuse me.
Absolutely. We don't even know. I can't sit here and tell you how many games each conference is going to play. I think the committee that's going to pick the 4 teams in the playoffs at the end of the season are going to have to throw out the number of games. They're going to have to throw out the scores of the games. It's such a strange year that you take every conference, and even though we know the Pac-12 is never in the Final Four, but if they have a team that emerges, you've got to look at analytics. You've got to look at how they play during the course of the season.
Analytics is what you're looking because I was going to ask you, what are they grading on? If you're throwing at the record books and throwing at the scores and throwing at the games, what are you looking at? But you've got analytics. You're going to develop analytics. Woody Page is going to develop analytics for the college football playoff. Sarah,
well, it's about time.
Is the Pac-12, do they owe it to the Pac-12 to get a shot at the college football playoff, even though they're starting so late?
Well, first of all, they should pick by cutest uniforms. No. So, honestly, here's the thing. If there's anything that we've learned in 2020, and to be fair, there's little evidence that many people have learned anything, it's that we shouldn't make declarative statements that speak to anything in the future. So if you say right now you need to play X number of games in order to qualify for the playoff, and then some teams that you really think deserve to be in there have some sort of scheduling snafu because of COVID, and they aren't eligible, that's just pointless. So everybody's in. They're probably not going to make it anyway, but say they've got a shot.
Glenn Yates.
If the whole complaint about the Pac-12 was that they never made it based on random competition anyway, why would you even bother trying to exclude them? In the year of the eyeball test, if a team from the Pac-12 gets up that high, you daggone sure better let them in because you don't even know who's going to be playing, never mind who's going to be that good. This would make no sense to exclude them at all.
The year of the eyeball test, I like that. Let me throw some eyes on scores right here. Clinton Yates, looks like you're the low man. Weekend starts right now for Yates. Sarah Spain, Woody Page, showdown next.
Ooh. Yeah.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That came out of last night's Dolphins win over the Jaguars. Ryan Fitzpatrick, first quarterback to have six wins over a team while playing for six different teams. Is that really history? Woody Page, you find yourself thinking you've underappreciated Fitzpatrick's accomplishments or overappreciated them?
I think we've all underappreciated what he's accomplished. Coming out of Harvard, how many Harvard quarterbacks can you name?
You went to Harvard?
A bearded quarterback that's lasted as long as he was, 37 years old. I mean, we got to appreciate our elderly people.
Here's some real history. He is only the second player since 48 with two passing touchdowns, a rushing touchdown, at least 20 yards rushing, and a reception in the same game. And he passed the ball to himself, the other person, Walter Payton. That's history.
That's amazing. I'll give you a point for that, Sarah Spain. But the answer to the question is he's perfectly fine appreciation-wise. He's a guy who's been in the league for however many years. Everyone knows him, the beard, the clothes, and everyone knows he's a gunslinger. That's a good thing. We'll move on. Showdown 2. Jamal Murray had about four absurd, amazing shots last night. Lefty leaners, skyscrapers, but it's the up and under that we're here for. The comp here is Michael Jordan. Not that he is Michael Jordan, but it's not even the Jordan one from the finals versus the Lakers, where Jordan didn't need to go up and under, by the way. It's the Jordan one versus the Nets, that up and under. So here's Jamal Murray's again. Which is better? Which is best? Sarah Spain, first to you.
Well, my favorite part about that Jordan shot is the opposing team's bench holds itself back, realizing they're cheering for the other team. But well, Murray's might have been even prettier.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a player unto himself last night. Let's don't compare him to anybody. Let's compare his shots. I think the left-handed shot was Larry Bird-like. I think that was probably the best because who shoots eight footers from that distance?
Woody, yes, we're comparing shots, not players. That's what we said. That was established at the start. It's okay to compare his shot to Jordan's shot. Doesn't mean he's on the same field. Oh, it doesn't matter. Sarah Spain, take the face off.
Yeah.
Today, Ruth Bader Ginsburg became the first woman and first Jewish person to lie in state in the Capitol. And when she started her pioneering work on sex discrimination, women couldn't file for their own credit card. They couldn't accuse their husband of rape. They couldn't file for sex discrimination at work. It must have felt impossible to go up against what she did. And so I think we need to honor her by applying the same idea of fighting impossible fights and things like racial injustices today and moving forward.
Thank you for those words, Sarah Spain. And the video today of her trainer dropping down and giving her push-ups, her memory push-ups. My heart. We'll see you Monday.